past few years, I've been doing a lot of, you know, activist community organizing work. I had a friend named Kim, and Kim was a doula, and she had actually saw a lot of, like, the different work I was doing for, like, with women and, like, street harassment stuff, the Summer for the Sister cards, just a whole lot of different things that I was doing to gear towards women. And she had first asked me if I wanted to be a part of this reproductive justice group. And I was like, I don't think so, because that wasn't, like, even though I was passionate about, like, you know, women and women rights and, you know, and the care of women, that I had just never thought about doing, like, birth work. Because I always done, like, prison, you know, abolitionist work and stuff like that. And I told her I'd think about it, but in the meantime, I had read books like Killing the Black Body by Dorothy Roberts, Medical Apartheid, Undivided Rights, and it spoke a lot about the injustices of, you know, like medical procedures and reproductive rights geared towards black women and women of color. And so that kind of like sparked the passion. It was like women need to be supported in this field of birth work too. So I joined a reproductive rights group, and I first trained as an abortion doula with the Doula Project, and I was doing abortion doula work with Planned Parenthood. And almost all of the doulas there were white, and they were like white older women who were married, and all of the clientele or the women who came in for the abortion procedure were black and brown women.
What part of Philly was this in?
The Planned Parenthood,
yeah.
In Center City.
Okay.
Center City, so they came down for that procedure. You know, it was very interesting, because the abortion doula work is a small time. You got like a small window of time. You meet the woman before the procedure, and you talk to them a little bit about the procedure. You talk to them about life. You talk to them. A lot of women wanted to talk about their previous children. Mm. A lot of women cried. Some women wanted you to pray for them. And then you sat there with them doing the abortion procedure, you know, holding their hand, wiping tears away, just giving them the encouragement that everything was going to be okay. And it was very quick, because this was first trimester, and the abortion procedure took maybe like 10 to 12 minutes. Okay. And then when it was over, you got to talk to them and debrief, doing a little bit like a counselor when you took them into the recovery room. And then I realized, like, you never see these women ever again. But I just thought how, I did that for a while, and then I just thought how it might be like even better, not even better, but also to support women on the flip side. Like, we're supporting women doing abortion, but what about when they actually like have birth? Because these women would talk about their other children and how they wouldn't have support. A lot of them chose to have abortions because they didn't have support to bring another child in the world. So I was like, maybe I should like, you know, experience that on the other side. And then I got, I trained to be a doula, birth doula with Birth Arts International in 2011. I started taking clients very sporadically because I was working and I was doing a whole bunch of other stuff. But I linked up with Maternity Care Coalition in North Philadelphia Breastfeeding Program, and they got this big grant to provide doulas to women who probably have never heard the term doulas before, like black and brown women in North Philly, Kensington, Frankfurt area.
Can you talk about, like, where did that term come from?
The doula?
The word doula. Like, where?
A lot of people trace it back to, like, a Greek term, which means, like, woman helper. But if you look back into, like, African cultures, Indian cultures, women have always had support when it came to delivering their babies, whether it was granny midwives, whether it was their mothers, sisters, women always had babies in communities. Somehow in the Western world, especially in the United States, with the development of hospitals, you know, which now even limit how many people you can bring into the delivery room, that support has kind of like waned off. Now you have women who are going through this whole procedure by themselves. And so, what the Maternity Care Coalition recognized was that women who had support in the delivery room and during the labor process was able to make better decisions about their bodies, better decisions for their babies, because they had that support there. And so I'm just all about helping women and care for women in all avenues. So it only seemed like right for me to partake on this work as a doula.
Speaking of hospitals, I have this quote from Ramona Africa that I want to play for you. And I want to play this because this thing that she said during this interview is kind of what got me thinking about this subject. And recently, while I was traveling, I ran across some people who were into natural childbirthing. And that kind of like re-sparked that interest. But this is like what originally got me thinking about this. And I want to get your thoughts on what she says here.
If your health is important to you, you will not tolerate unhealthy food, an unhealthy lifestyle, unhealthy thoughts. I mean, you just won't tolerate it. That's why MOVE confronts this system the way we do. Nobody is going to get in our face and tell us or convince us that health comes from a bottle of medicine, you know, or that children's righteousness and their growth and development comes from a school, that you have to turn your children over to strangers, you know, turn them over to this system in order for them to be somebody, to have what they need. I mean, what are they telling people? That you're a fool, you don't know what you're doing. You gave birth to this baby, but you don't know how to raise this baby. You don't know what this baby is.
Right.
You got to give it to us to take care of.
It's basically what they're saying, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. They are. But people are not trained to see it that way. You know, to them, oh, this is just how it is. You know, you have a baby in a hospital, not on your own, with the health and strength of life, you know? Mm-hmm. Not that, but you need us. You need the system in order to even have a baby. No other species of life goes to a hospital to have babies. Right. No other species of life does that. Only humans.
I never thought of it that way, but...
Inferior being. I didn't think of it like that either until John Africa... You know, taught us to see these things.
So what are your thoughts on what she's saying here?
Well, one, I would say that MOVE has inspired just the work that I do tremendously, and how they're really passionate about life. And being around MOVE, first, I got to meet all of these women who were telling me stories about bringing babies into the world at home and bringing the babies into the world by themselves. Like, they're their own doctors, they're their own midwives, they're their own doulas, and then all the children are healthy. So that has always inspired me, and I've always kept that locked away in my head when I think about women having birth. I agree with Ramona that I think hospitals have been built to, one, you know, let me back up. Women used to have births with midwives or have granny midwives years and years ago. But with the hospitals, it came like a big campaign that put in place that you should distrust having your babies at home, that is unsafe. You should put all your trust in doctors. You know, hospitals are the right way to have your babies. And women stopped trusting themselves. I think they stopped trusting their communities. They stop trusting that whole process of, like, having babies at home and on their own. And it's crazy because when I just heard that quote, I thought a lot about how hospitals and society and everything plays into the way that women don't breastfeed anymore. How hospitals kind of push, they're getting better, but they still push that whole desire of, you know, women should use formula, women shouldn't breastfeed. And society as a whole has really sexualized women's bodies, where they can't even imagine the breast being anything useful other than, you know, the gaze of a male, or used for some type of, you know, sexual pleasure. So I definitely agree with Ramona in that regard, that we just kind of always see hospitals as the place that we're supposed to have the babies. We can't envision any other space to have them. And I think that goes into too why I advocate like a natural birth. Like, as a doula, we're supposed to be there to assist women and support women however they wish to have their babies. Whether it's at home, whether it's at the hospital, whether it's with pain medication, whether it's with natural. But one thing, I do feel like hospitals are really quick to give mothers epidurals.
What's an epidural?
An epidural is a process that's supposed to reduce the pain and the contractions women feel during the birthing process. And it's a procedure that women get. They insert it in the back to near the nerves to reduce the pain sensation. Okay. But what ends up happening, and I think hospitals deliberately do this, is that women no longer can feel like the whole natural process of giving birth. So they don't feel that that natural desire to push when they need to be, when they need to bring the babies down. And so what happens is here's a woman who can't even feel her body when it's time to push a baby out, and all of the credit in giving birth is given to the nurses and the doctors in the hospitals. Right. Like the fact that we always say, this doctor delivered my baby, when really a woman delivers her own baby. She's doing right. all the pushing. Right. But with medication too, it drugs women up, it makes them drowsy. Like it just loses, women do not feel empowered anymore during that whole process.
It's kind of like you're just laying there.
You're laying there, like, right. You're laying there, and you're still in some pain, but the pain that like, that you need to feel to actually feel like you still have that power to push through, to push the baby through, you lose it, and you rely mostly on your medical team to get your baby through.
I never thought of it that way, but that makes sense, like just kind of losing that autonomy and power that you used to have, and that's kind of like what the medical establishment kind of represents now, is people like, you go somewhere else and these professionals will tell you like everything that you have to do. Like you're just like a know nothing, just sort of like
You're just there. You're just there, and it's weird. I just had two births, and I was at this one particular birth. It was a long birth, and this mother, she was in the hospital for 3 days, and she did so good to get her baby through and to deliver this healthy baby. And when she had the baby, she just kept thanking the doctor and the nurse. And I'm like, you did this. Like, you did this. Right. Because at one point, they was actually talking about her having a C-section.
Oh, my God.
And something miraculously happened where, you know, her cervix opened up and the baby came through and she didn't need to have a C-section. But yeah, she was just so thankful. She was like, I gotta get thank you cards to the nurses, to the doctor. I'm like, you, like you. Yeah. Like, I wanted her to like feel that, you know,
your body
that
the
power.
Yeah.
You feel this. Yeah. But, you know.
Can you walk us through like what a typical doula experience is like? Like, well, maybe from your, I guess it's different for different people, but like from what you've been going through, what you've done, when a woman comes to you, what happens from the time that she comes to you to the time that she gives birth?
Usually when I match with the woman, or sometimes women come up to me and ask me to be their doula, I meet with them just so it's not only to see if, you know, if I want to be her doula, but if she wants me to be her doula. Because sometimes, you know, it's not always a match. I've always had successful matches, but you might meet a doula that you don't like. But for me, I sit down with the mother, I explain what a doula is, because like I said, I work with an organization where women probably have never heard of the term doula, but like their case manager, or if they go to like a private facility for like prenatal care, they may recommend them for the organization that I work with. And then either in that session or another session, we'll go over a birth plan. And during that birth plan, I ask like every possible like question and present them with every scenario of what could happen, and if that you know, if your threshold, like if you feel all this pain, you know, do you want an epidural? And if you don't want an epidural, should I continue to encourage you not to have an epidural? Or who do you want in the delivery room with you? Or do you like a lot of touching? Or do you want Pitocin, which is a a uterine like stimulation? Like, do you want all of these things? I ask them a whole bunch of questions, and I always type it up and I give them a copy and I keep a copy and I always bring it to the delivery room so we can know, like, this is what you say you wanted. Right. This is not what you say you wanted. Sometimes that stuff goes completely out the window.
Change your mind.
Because there are women who's like, don't even let them talk to me about an epidural. And I come in there and they're like, what? My epidural? What the fuck is my epidural? So, I mean, it could completely go out of the window. And also doing those prenatal visits I have with them before the birth, I do different things. I show them different positions that they can get into. We do different breathing techniques. Just kind of practice because I might not be at the labor. Sometimes labors go really fast, and by the time I get there, they've had the baby, or something that might have happened to me. So they can't actually be empowered to do these things on their own. We do a whole lot of different like positions, breathing exercises. I meet the family who's going to be there. We just talk about the whole birthing experience. And I feel like a bit of counseling goes into it as well, because a lot of women have a lot of fear about giving birth, especially first-time moms. They have a lot of fear. A lot of them don't know if they're even healthy enough to bring a healthy being into this world. They kind of doubt the whole process. A lot of them are really fearful about pushing the baby out of their yoni, because that does sound a bit scary right. When you think about it.
Right.
And a lot of women don't even know their bodies. So, you know, you kind of explain even how the whole birthing process goes, how having a cervix open up to 10 centimeters to bring the baby through. And also we talk about breastfeeding. I really strongly encourage mothers to breastfeed. I tend to find with my younger mothers, they are not about that life. They're like, right, no, right. This yuck. I even had a mother of one of my clients say, giving your child your breast is like raping your child.
What?
In the mouth.
Oh my yes. God, are you kidding?
Right. So sometimes you have to get in doing those prenatal visits. You have to get the family on board too. But I strongly encourage breastfeeding, and I tell them, you know, show them different positions they can use. Because I'm not going to be there. I do one postpartum visit. Well, I didn't go through the whole process, sorry. But so once the mother like goes to the hospital, either like her water breaks, or her mucus plug comes out, or the contractions are 3 to 5 minutes, and the hospital decides to keep her, she'll just call me and keep me updated of how the process goes. If it seems like it's going to be a longer labor, I come down, I check on her. We may do like some breathing exercises and things like that. I might put like wet rags on the head. Sometimes I'm the person that's holding the vomit bucket. You're just doing a whole bunch of things. Usually when the mother gets to about 6 centimeters, with the cervix is dilated 6 centimeters, I'll come in and I'll stay for the remainder of their birth until they reach 10 centimeters and able to push. And the only time pushing, you know, I'm holding legs, I'm coaching her how to breathe, you know, I'm wiping tears away, I'm doing a lot of verbal encouragement that you can pull through, because it's always interesting at that very moment when they have to push, they always say, I can't do it. I was like, you can't do what? You're here, your cervix is open. Right. They may have been through this long birth and they're just like, I can't do it. They can't, right. And you know, it's always good too, to be on hand when a mother says, I don't want an epidural, in the hospital still trying to push it. Yeah. You're the person who, like, she said she didn't want an epidural. She doesn't want Pitocin. She doesn't want pain medication, especially if she's trying to have, like, a natural birth. You just want to be able to be her advocate, because sometimes she can't be in that situation.
I read something recently about how C-sections are, like, on the rise now.
Right.
But a lot of people do them not because it's, like, an emergency, but just because they have some other personal reason for not wanting it. But then the article said that when you give birth naturally, you get a lot of immune support from coming out of your mother that natural way. Can you know anything more about that?
Right. Cesarean sections are on the rise, definitely, for young black girls. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think, I believe, and I believe this is true, that young black girls are the biggest group of having cesarean sections. And that doesn't mean that our wombs are not healthy.
Right.
I think hospitals feel like, you know, they don't want to be bothered to have women go through that process.
So it's easier, faster.
It's easier, faster, and people don't know this, but hospitals make like double the money for a cesarean section because it's no longer like a birth, it's a
surgery.
So they make more money. Wow. And I think for young black girls who may not have that support that they need, and they're in a lot of pain in the hospital, because we have a lot of trust in hospitals, like Ramona Africa said, we tend to think the doctors and everything are right. So if they're saying, oh, it's best for you to get a cesarean section, and you don't have a doula, you don't have anyone who's like, you know, really knowledgeable about the birthing, you know, world and how that works, you're more prone to get a cesarean section. Some women I've talked to, and they're like women and not young girls, doing the birthing process. Some of them are like, you know, if any pain is like too much, I'm just gonna go have a C-section. And I'd be like, what you mean you just gonna go have a C-section? Right, right, yeah. And they're like, I'm just gonna go have a C-section. Yeah. And I think, like you were getting at that whole, like, the natural process, I think because it is a surgery and you don't go through all of that pain and contractions and, like, bringing your baby down and them laying your baby on your chest. Because when you have a C-section, they don't put the baby on you because your stomach is open and everything. They don't have that immediate, like, you know, natural bond with the child that you may have if you have a vaginal birth.
Right.
So I think that's what a lot of people are kind of getting into. But hospitals would definitely push C-sections on you. Like I said, I was just at a birth and they was talking about a C-section because her cervix wasn't opening up the way they felt like it should be.
So they're trying to push her to just like...
to do a C-section. Like, yeah, she should start thinking about a C-section. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's great that I was there. Yeah. Like, let's do it. You wait a little bit more time. Because, you know, I had a friend that told me she had all of her 5 children naturally. And I think she had like 4 at home or 3 at home. But she said, we always give women this expected due date for like... you know, the baby's going to be due July 25th or 26th. And then when the baby is not here and it's July 29th, right, everybody freaks out. And it should be an expected due month. Because babies come when they're ready. And a lot of times people expect the due dates are off. But as soon as, like, the baby isn't here when we plan for he or her to come here, the hospitals freak out and they're like, well, it's on the C-section, you know, she's late, and, you know, they don't really give, because it is a hospital, and we got to get the beds, you know, in and out, they do not allow that natural process to happen on its own. Yeah, because it's a hospital, you know, we know when we go in for any other thing for a hospital, they're trying to constantly get us in and out.
It's like a machine,
it's a machine.
Factory.
Exactly, it's definitely a machine, exactly.
So, one of the last things I want to ask you about, you mentioned earlier about you noticed it was more, you noticed more black women coming in for abortions, you noticed more black women getting C-sections.
Yeah.
When it comes to this issue of natural childbirthing and, you know, having a baby the natural way, like, why do you think there's this, what racial divide do you see, and like, why do you think this racial divide is there, and like, how can we, you know, fix that?
Fix it. Yeah. Oh, that's a big question. I think a lot of it has to do with education. I think the more aware we are of the ways in which the hospitals are not on our side, are not, doesn't have our and our children, our babies' best interests, I think women would get a little bit more like in tune with, you know, having children more the natural way, I hope.
Right.
'Cause I feel like the information is just not presented as to, you know, why young black girls are having more cesarean sections. Like, there's nothing that says our bodies are not as healthy as young white girl bodies to have babies. But I also feel like that information is also not presented to these women as well. And I feel like the women that do know, the doulas, the birth workers, the midwives, we have to make it a conscious thing, a conscious action to present the information to women. And I think we have to do it in a very reliable, not reliable, what's the word, a very relevant way. Right. And I think with any type of movement, any type of revolution, that's the biggest thing, how to make the information relevant to the proletarians, to the people. And I'm not quite sure if we've gotten there yet, because I even read things as a birth worker, and I'm like, what is this word? It's still using very medical terminology.
Right.
And I think we have to, not saying you have to dumb it down, but just make it to where everybody can understand the language and everybody can understand the information. And I also feel like, you know, if we can, you know, I love what Maternity Care Coalition doing with me, and with giving, having doulas on hand for women in economically isolated neighborhoods. But I think it needs to be like everywhere. And I feel like sometimes in the business of the doula world, I mean, doulas don't make that much money anyway, but if we can, sometimes when we take in our clientele, we can also take in a couple of women who can't afford it. I just think this would be so wonderful to help women out during that process. And I know for me as a doula working with the women in North Philly, after they have their babies, they're always asking me, how can I be a doula? So I feel like it's pay it forward, like, you know, or pay it back. Is it pay it back or pay it forward?
I don't know. Either one of those.
Pay it forward. Pay it forward, pay it back. Yeah. That's what I'm going to say, give it back. Right. Like, you know, you had assistance with your birth, and then you go and help another sister out. And it doesn't, I mean, it doesn't even have to take going through a doula program. If women know how to give births and they've been in that process, they can go and be in another woman's birth and help them out in the hospital. So I just think if we just give support, like, just total support of women who are going through birth, and we're providing that education in a way that is relevant and that is helpful, and women get it, I think that's a start.
Right.
I think that's a big start. And that too with breastfeeding. I think I'm really big about breastfeeding.
Yeah.
So many women don't do it. And I hear just so many crazy stories about it. But that again goes back to information.
So healthy, yeah.
Yeah, so healthy.
And I think
yeah.
It's also important for people to know, like, if they are interested in getting a doula, like,
right.
Can you tell people, like, where
they can go?
Yeah, and, like, how they can contact you if they want to contact
yes.
you or something?
Well, one, I definitely want to give the Maternity Care Coalition information. You can just do probably, like, a Google search, maternity care. I think the website is maternitycarecoalition.org. And you can just go through them, their website, if you are a woman who... a low-income woman who qualifies to have a doula, who wants support, because I think a big thing too is wanting it.
Right.
And then if you want to contact me, you can contact me through my email at Irisha, Irisha dot Picot, Picot, at gmail.com. You can Facebook me.
Everybody's
on Facebook, so you can Facebook me. As well, and you know, just I think women just need to know that they're so powerful. We can give birth and squeeze big 8, 7, 8, 9 pound babies
yeah.
out of our yoni. We can stand up 20 feet tall yeah. and just do anything. I always tell women that after they give birth, I was like, you should really be feeling 20 feet tall right now.
Awesome.
Like that's amazing.
Get off my knees, I might recall, I'm 20 feet tall. Memory. Yeah.